Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
That's right, Owlpost for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and she is still here, as she is always, the amazing, ever-present, ever-vescent Drea Kaufman.
Hey!
I'm here, and live,
and officially back to work.
Yay. Yeah, man, how is it transitioning from baby mama to work mama?
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. To making the bacon and back to bringing home the bacon.
That's right. Yeah. There you go.
It's good. It's good. Tired.
Yeah, she can make it and fry it.
Sure can. And it's delicious.
Oh, bacon. So yummy. I love bacon. Anyway, okay. Bacon. Before we go down like a bacon tangent.
Sorry, everyone.
Just want to remind everybody that we did have our contest winners last week, and as of this recording, still haven't heard from them. So just FYI, reminder that our two contest winners were Kid at Heart 33 and Jedi Fish. Just a reminder, please send us your contact information. Go over to nerdparty.com/contact. Choose a show, choose Owlpost, and send us your address, and we will send you the book that you won as soon as we get your information. So we're really excited to send that out to you. So thank you, everybody who gave us those reviews over on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Keep those reviews coming. We will definitely keep doing the 1 in 10 if you want, because if you give us the reviews, we'll do it for you guys. So make sure you go in over there, giving us a star rating review. You can find us also on Twitter, at @JoinNerdParty. Which is a great place to follow. You can follow the entire network, see what we're doing. And of course, if you want to talk to us, you can always use the hashtag Owlpost. And then another great place to find us is over on Facebook, at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. We post all the shows there. It's a great place to interact with Drea and I. We love it when people talk to us on the show posts. So it's a blast. So make sure you're checking out all of those places. And of course, none other than TheNerdParty.com. Which is a fantastic place to go to check out all the shows that we're doing. And just don't miss it. Just, you don't want to miss out on everything that's going on at the Nerd Party. But, Drea, this week we are back. Chapter 11, we're on the Hogwarts Express. And, I have to say, I really love that the day they're going to leave, Harry wakes up, walks downstairs, and his eyes almost fall off his head when he sees Amos Diggory's head in the middle of the flames inside their their fireplace, talking very flat fast. And I love this idea. Like, this is the first time that Harry's seen this type of communication, and it's gotta be freaky just to see somebody's head floating in fire.
It's true. I mean, except for you're right. This is the first time. This is the
yeah,
first time.
Yeah, I know.
Time
I realized I think
I was
we were
like,
wrong.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the first time.
We were wrong last week, I think, you know, that Harry himself has never seen this.
Yeah. No, he doesn't know about anything like this. He has never experienced it for himself. He probably assumed there was some sort of it existing, but this is his first experience. And I think it would be unnerving if I went downstairs. And I mean, we don't have a fireplace because a whole town is just a giant fire pit. But
that is true. That is true.
But if I did go downstairs to a fireplace and saw, you know, just a person chilling in a chair having a conversation, I might be a little freaked out.
Well, and what I love about this, too, is the conversation that they're having. Something apparently has happened with a man named Mad-Eye Moody, where he has turned some Muggle artifacts into weapons because he thought his house was being attacked at night.
Just throwing jinxes left and right.
I just the thought process of this happening just cracks me up. And, you know, is this the first time that we've heard about Mad-Eye Moody, or have we heard about him before this.
I want to say this is the first time we've heard about him. I mean, yeah, we're actually introduced to him this time around. So if it was mentioned before, it was like just a name drop.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have. I think this is it. If I'm wrong, please let me know, people on the internet.
Yeah, definitely let us know, because I we may have heard the name before, like you said, just a name drop, but I do think that this is the very first time we really get introduced to this person, and apparently it's going to be very important, because this Mad-Eye person...
Yeah, he's starting a new job, and everyone is all... You know, he's a very important person, apparently, to Mr. Weasley, and, you know, as we learned, Mr. Weasley likes to collect the oddities, or I forget what they talk call
about,
it.
Yeah, they talk about Mr. Weasley, you know, collecting plugs.
There you
know,
go. Like,
I love that. I love that. Not only that, but what's so funny is that Mrs. Weasley is like, your father thinks very high of Mad-Eye movie, and so does Dumbledore. He's a good friend of Dumbledore's. And I love how Fred's like, well, Dumbledore's not what you would call, you know,
normal.
You know, and I thought that was really funny that somebody finally called out that Dumbledore's a little bit...
He's a little odd himself.
Yeah.
A little bit of an odd duck.
It's great.
It's funny that... this is kind of the first time we're seeing the Weasley family criticize themselves, like each other, and not like in a joking knock Percy for being a butt kisser, but like where they're first kind of like, well, you know, Dad always does sort of collect them and they're not always normal. You know, they're not like talking down about him or to him. They're just like kind of calling it how it is. Well, you know, this is Dad's habit, you know, so...
What I thought was interesting about it is just it's very realistic, you know, the family, and, you know, when you have this many kids and some of them are already adults and everything, and some are close to being adults, you know, they do have start to form their own opinions, and it is interesting to see them kind of, you know, you could tell they love their dad. But they're also like, Dad's not what we would call normal.
Yeah, they're not sometimes afraid to like know that he's not this like perfectly normal wizard who just goes about his business. So,
well, and I also like this chapter that we do get a couple of new things in, and we hear about Aurors for the first time, and that they're the dark wizard catchers, and that Mad-Eye Moody is apparently somebody who is so good at it that, and I don't think this is hyperbole, that half the cells in Azkaban are full of enemies. Because of people he's put in there. And so there are a lot of people who don't like Mad-Eye Moody because of the way that he had no love for dark wizards and made sure that he put as many away as possible, which honestly just pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it also kind of lends true. I mean, thinking of somebody waking up and just losing it at their trash cans or rubbish bins. You know, you're like, oh, maybe he's crazy, but then kind of learning that he's pretty much made an enemy of half of the world, then, you know, there's probably some reason why he's slightly paranoid, and, you know, probably has a pretty logical explanation to freak out if he thinks someone's breaking into his house. So it's kind of fascinating to learn. I mean, you have to imagine there was something like that all along, but this is kind of the first time you're given, like, it's created and it's real for you now.
It sets up this Mad-Eye Moody character to be somebody who, one, seems kind of like a BA, you know,
yeah,
like big time. And somebody who's a little bit paranoid,
a little bit,
you know,
crazy,
which
in a good way,
maybe possibly a little bit crazy. So like, I love the way that she's setting this up, because obviously, even if you haven't read this, you can kind of figure that this character is going to come into play later on in the book. You wouldn't, normally she
why
doesn't
else,
do
why else
anything.
Would we spend the half a chapter on him? Yeah,
exactly.
Spoilers. This has relevance.
And just one minor joke, I love how Percy's like, how he has to get off to work because Mr. Crouch is really starting to rely on here, and I love George being like, I reckon he'll even know your name soon.
I know. Well, I like how he delivers it so solemnly too, like, oh, I know, Percy, and maybe he'll even know your name someday.
Yeah. oh man,
I think it's interesting that they take muggle taxis to the station. I mean,
yeah,
they I think we've taken ministry cars in the past, and I want to say once we took the Weasley house family.
Yeah, we
car.
Did take the we took the Weasleys for Regalia. You know, that was in the second book before, you know, the boys decide to fly it all the way to Hogwarts and get it lost in the Forbidden Forest.
So this is kind of the first time we're taking some sort of muggle transportation, besides the Dursley's car, which isn't anything special. So I think it's interesting that, you know, Hermione and Harry are very familiar with how this will go, but... You know, Harry's like, he did not like having to tell Mrs. Weasley that cab drivers just generally don't like squawking pigeons and loose animals in their cab, you know?
Yes. I love that.
I love that it's that opportunity for Harry to, I always feel like when they have a chance, Harry and Hermione like to be that bridge to the muggle world and help the Weasleys the way the Weasleys help them. And so I thought it was interesting we took a second to talk about how they get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also really like that Charlie and Bill come along for the ride with them, and they keep talking about this thing that Mrs. Weasley and them know about, but the kids don't know about yet, and they're giving, like, everybody a hard time. Ginny's like, can you just tell us what's going on for the love of all that's holy? And they're like, oh, no, you'll figure it out. Dumbledore, I'll tell you all about it. It's fine. You'll find out tonight. You know, and just they keep doing that thing, which is so, it's kind of like when people are talking about spoilers, sort of, in a thing. Oh, there's the thing that happens, and you're like, you either tell me or just can you stop talking about it?
Don't allude. Just tell me or don't tell me.
I really love that. And it's fun to just get to see the interaction between, you know, a part of the family we haven't really got to spend a lot of time with. So I enjoy that Charlie and Bill have gotten more time in this book to spend with us as readers, so we can get to know them a little bit. So that was a lot of fun. So,
and I do like she plays with it a little bit, you know, with them. You can tell they're sort of toying with them when they're dropping the hints about what's going to come next. And if you've seen any of the movies or read the back cover of the book, you probably know what's coming next. But I really like, though, that some of it seems genuine. You know, Charlie's like, well, I'll be seeing you sooner than you think, you know, and they're like, what? And it's because he genuinely was like, I'll be seeing you sooner than you think, you know. I do like that some of the information is real and very genuine, and some of it they're just messing with them.
It is pretty fun. I also enjoyed how we overhear Malfoy talking about how, well, you know,
his father wanted
thought
to
about
you.
Sending him to Drumstring, but, you know, mother didn't want me so far away. And then it starts this whole conversation over again about these other schools, which I thought was really interesting. And of course, Hermione knows everything about them because she's read the books. And I think that it's really interesting because we get into this whole thing about how these magical schools that people don't know where they are. It's not something that's in a book. It's not something that, oh, you can go, you know, like, it's kept secret even from different wizarding communities because these places are so honestly sacred in the sense of, like, we're teaching wizard children how to be wizards, and we don't want anybody just randomly, haphazardly finding this castle or whatever the schools are full of kids learning magic. Like, we keep it secret, we keep it safe, kind of like the One Ring.
keep it safe hashtag episode title.
Exactly. But I thought that was really cool, like, learning about this idea, like, this is something we didn't know about Hogwarts because we haven't read Hogwarts: A History. J.K. Rowling.
Wait, you didn't?
Read...
I did. No, I'm just kidding.
So I think this is one of the places where she gives some exposition through Hermione, but I really enjoy just kind of learning more about the wizarding world and more about Hogwarts, which to me, I can never learn enough about Hogwarts.
Yeah, and it's neat that not only are they keeping it, like even the schools themselves don't really know where the other schools are. Like, it's not just secret, it's like epically secret. It's like as secret as you can get secret. So It's so interesting. And they're like, oh, well, they're worried that they're going to steal the secrets. Like, it's not painted like, oh, it's for the kids' safety. It's like, no, they're going to steal our secrets. And you're like, oh, yikes.
Well, and that is an interesting thing, because when you think about it, you know, there are things at, you know, like universities that they do that not every other university does. And you do kind of keep secret from other universities. You know, you have your ways of doing things. And so, and it makes sense too in a thing like magic, where there are certain types of magics. There are certain, I mean, obviously we learn here that Dumstrang has no problem
discussing,
you know, with
the dark arts.
Yeah, and teaching more of the dark arts, and sense like how to use unforgivable curses and that kind of thing. So, you know, not a nice place whatsoever.
So, in its defense, because I feel like it's getting a bad rap already, they say that they teach the dark arts. And of course, you know, we're hearing this from Malfoy, so take that with a grain of salt. But I mean, I feel like there is something to be said about learning about the thing so you understand it, and not necessarily learning to perform it. So it could just be that they're learning about it and, you know, maybe how to perform it, but not so much that they're like breeding dark wizards, but just that it's just another thing. They just don't seem to be as prudent about the material being taught and like restricting it. They're just kind of more open about, is kind of how I took it. Like, they're just more open about what's there. Dark magic exists, and dark arts exist, and this is what they are and what they do, you know? So that's kind of how I took it. They just live dangerously versus making dark wizards, which is what I think we kind of get the impression from Malfoy he's insinuating.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love that they all kind of get off this and start talking about Quidditch, and Hermione gets bored. And so she starts trying to learn the summoning charm, which I thought was interesting, because that may be important later on.
And I find it so sad that Neville didn't go to the World Cup.
Yes,
he's like, my granny didn't buy tickets. And it's like, oh, Neville.
Well, and it just it answers our question that there apparently is not a way, unless you go to the game, to watch it.
Yeah.
So true. I think that is fascinating, that they don't have that ability. So just really, yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that there isn't a magical way to do that. But
it's just,
I guess,
interesting. They're so technologically advanced. They're so advanced, but not technologically advanced. Like, they rely so heavily on magic, but they don't really have technology. We've already talked about that they don't have like cell phones or communication devices of sorts or pagers. Right. They don't have any of that. You know, Mrs. Weasley had to go use a payphone. So they don't have, you know, things aren't on television. They have newspapers, but we've never, ever heard once about them watching a TV show or anything on television or any sort of media related to, you know, the wizarding world. So it's just interesting how non-technologically minded this series is. Because nowadays you just send a text and be like, yo, I'm trapped in a closet on the third floor in the East Wing. Someone let me out, you know?
Yes. Well, and I think what it does is it makes the wizarding world feel kind of timeless, you know, because they're not bound by technology. And actually, it's kind of a smart thing in a sense for her books. Like, you know, we know the time period they're in, but you never feel that. You can read this and feel like this is happening at any time, which I think is really nice. She was really smart, I think, in that.
I agree and disagree. I feel like if you added specific technologies in here, yeah, you kind of put a date or timestamp on it. But I think by not having really any form of technology, you're still dating it. You're still dating it to before that. You still sort of have like this, oh, it's old, you know? So I see what you're saying. It makes it not specific, but I still feel like it dates. It feels dated at times, because she could have invented wizarding technology or something, but... And I don't know that there's a good way to fix this. I think of all of her options, this was the least of the worst of her choices. Like, she did the best bad option. But, you know, I still think it gives it some sort of dated feel, which isn't bad. It's just,
yeah.
Pre-texting, I guess. Email,
it works for me because, you know, she mentions things like, you know, the Dursleys having like TVs and computers and video game systems, but she's never specific. Right. So it just allows you to imagine them having whatever type of technology is in your time period,
right,
without it being like overbearing or, again, I think losing.
Yeah. Until we start streaming things directly into our heads, and then all bets are off. We're all screwed.
That's
so
true. Yeah. Man, this Malfoy kid.
Him every time. Just shut your mouth, Malfoy.
I feel so bad for Ron because Malfoy, of course, comes in, and you know, Ron was just talking about how they got to be in the top box, and you know, he's like, "Oh, first and last time for your life, Weasley." You know, and then of course he sees Ron's dress robes that are apparently have found their way slightly out of his trunk. And of course, now Malfoy's making fun of that as he grabs it and shows it to everyone. And it's like, he is having a pretty embarrassing day.
It's a pretty crappy day for Ron. Let's be honest. It's just a pretty crappy day. Yeah.
Well, and on top of that too, you know, we've got Malfoy talking about how awesome it is that he knows what's going to be happening because, you know, his father told him ages ago because, you know, they know Cornelius Fudge and like they only know the top people, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, it's frustrating for Ron too, because like his dad could have told him, but his dad is doing what he's supposed to do and not telling his son, you know, like, so Ron's kind of like proud of his dad, but at the same time, he's mad because he's like, it's just this whole thing that happens.
Again, it's not fair, but it's the right thing to do. But it still reminds Ron that the right thing isn't always the easy thing or the thing that makes him feel most included.
Yeah.
But I'm reading this and, you know, Malfoy's sort of hassling them about, oh, are you going to enter? Or are you going to enter? And all I'm thinking is like, he doesn't know as much as he thinks he knows, which I have this moment where I'm like, haha, yeah, sure. Your dad's in the know. Yeah, right. Like at this moment where I'm like, haha, while he's reading that, which will come out in the next chapter. But, you know, with my foreknowledge, I'm already like, it doesn't make me as angry because I already know he's sort of putting his foot in his mouth just a little. You're like, should I just said anything?
I love that. I like that. And it's interesting too, you know, I love how they get to the school at the very end, you know, the journey is over and they're at school and Hagrid's calling all the first year to the boats and it's just pouring rain, it's cold, and Hermione's like, oh, I hate to go across the lake in this weather.
Yeah. And they get into horseless carriages, which will come up again in the next book.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get introduced to a very important character in the next book with respect to these horseless carriages. That was a nice nod right there, a nice little
I love how she just places the puzzle pieces and you can't see the whole picture yet, but it's gonna be important and she's just so good at that.
And if you think about it, this is the first year that they are appropriately going to the school. First year they took the boats. Second year they fly the car?
Yeah, so the first year they were in the boats. Second year they flew the car. Third year was normal.
Was third year normal?
Third year is normal because there isn't anything that happens while they're going
the sorting,
to Hogwarts.
Though.
Because they, at Hogwarts in the third year, you know, the only thing that happens is the train at the Muggle. Oh
no, he's passed out. He's passed out. Yeah.
And, well, he's not passed out, but they have to go and talk to McGonagall and Snape, along with Lupin, and that's why they missed
Madame Hooch. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They end up. That's the reason that they end up missing.
We aren't exactly sure, but assumption would be they took the carriages.
Right. So. Okay. But this is the first time we get the carriages mentioned.
Yeah. This is the first time we're mentioned the normal means in which students report to Hogwarts. This is kind of the first normal start to the school year that Ron and Harry and Hermione are having, mm-hmm. where there's no like big uppities happening. before they get there, and we're going to sort of get a normal school start, which probably feels nice for the first time in 4 years.
until they realize that this year is going to be completely different.
Yeah, until we get into the next chapter and all bets are off. But at least it started out normal, so...
So, great chapter. Can't wait to continue with this one because we're really starting to dig into the meat of the story, and some big things will get revealed next week in the chapter called the Triwizard Tournament. But before we get
spoilers. The chapter name.
It's not a spoiler since everybody has seen the chapter titles. But if anybody wants to say hi to you, see what's going on, talk about Harry Potter, where can they find you?
Sure. Send me pictures of bacon. On Twitter,
at PC. Like on a burger,
or just a nice sizzling plate of bacon, any of that. On PCF Chick at on Twitter, or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN.
And you could find me on Twitter at MattRushing02 and on Instagram under the same name. I'm also here on the Nerd Party Network doing Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills as we're talking all about Star Wars every week. It's a lot of fun, so make sure you join us. You could find me on the Trek FM Network. I'm doing a show there called The Orb with Chris Jones as we talk all about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I'm doing the General Geek Show over there called the 602 Club, which is a blast. And as of this show coming out, Dre and I will have recorded, and you will be waiting for our review of Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War. So you'll want to make sure you're following the 602 Club for that. And then last but not least, doing a great show with my friend Courtney called Cinema Stories, and that is all about film through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.